Good morning. My name is Candice Beverly Ke. I grew up in a relatively traditional Chinese family where we followed a certain religious norm. At a young age, I remember being so captivated with the Good Shepherd described in Psalm 23. But it was in second grade when I finally understood the gospel, when I trusted and accepted Jesus Christ to become my personal Lord and Savior. I had so much overflowing joy in my heart getting to know Him intimately, even though those were the times when my family went through a lot of terrible tragedies. I started attending CCF when I was in college and was introduced to the Great Commission. I remember saying to God, "Lord, someday, maybe, but not now." And soon after graduating college, I had a heart-wrenching episode that tested everything I knew and experienced about God. In my great anguish, I allowed the excruciating pain to numb me from seeing how God's love was beautifully wrapped in this painful experience. Instead of turning to God, I rebelled against the Lord and made alcohol my new best friend. My family and few close friends were there for me, but I never really listened to their counsel. Deep-seated anger and bitterness consumed me to the point that I became so allergic to anything that had to do with God. Yet, throughout my rebellion, God was gently beckoning me to His side, trying to capture my attention. From time to time, He would send me messages through people, even if I angrily rebuffed every one of them, except for when I begrudgingly gave in to His incessant prodding and went to three retreats: Secrets of the Vine, Overflow, and Big Four. I did not remember much of what was shared during those retreats, but I remember specific messages that never failed to reaffirm God's love for me, even when I purposely shut Him out of my life for 2 years. It was a struggle for me to accept His love because I knew I hurt Him so many times. But in the end, I simply surrendered and gave in to such great, unimaginable, indescribably wonderful love of our Savior. Before I knew it, I was introduced to my first ever disciple. It was a scary but exciting experience to be responsible for taking care of someone else other than my personal walk with the Lord. But towards the end of 2007, something devastating happened to my family that made my parents decide to hide from society for a while for safety and protection. Despite my sadness, I entrusted my disciple to our God-fearing siblings and parents for spiritual care. By the time 2008 came, when Friends Retreat was about to be launched, there the Lord reached for me and slowly began to awaken my desire to disciple people again. It was like He allowed me to lay dormant for a while, growing my intimacy with Him one-on-one style with just the two of us, and now He wanted me back in the game. I told God, "Lord, I could not possibly disciple again until our family is safe, and I do not want anyone to be harmed because of our issues. And we are still not safe yet, Lord. Why do You want me to disciple now?" So I asked Him to provide me verses from the Bible that would directly tell me to start discipling again. Within a week, I recorded in my journal over 10 verses from different parts of the Bible commanding me to obey and disciple other women. God's confirmation through His Word left me so speechless that I enthusiastically went to one retreat after another, serving the Lord as a facilitator, hoping to start a group again. But none of the ladies I met really stayed in the group. That minor setback, though, did not dampen my eagerness to disciple, and I signed up to join the first ever GLC. I knew I needed a training to be able to disciple effectively, and GLC 2 paved the way for me to become more confident in discipling women. Like any other normal student, I was nervous at first, not knowing what to expect, but initial nervousness went away after the first session. One priceless lesson that has been deeply engraved in my heart is that people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. 1 year flew by where I learned the basics of discipleship, and by then, the Lord has blessed me with wonderful ladies to disciple. After some time, I thought I was already doing things right, simply meeting the ladies each week and discipling them, until the command in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 stopped me in my tracks, where it says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." That verse haunted me all year long. Come June 2011, I knew I had to sign up for GLC Level 4, but I stubbornly resisted out of fear. I knew I needed a hand in helping the girls grow, but I kept delaying until the last minute. The Lord, however, being the good shepherd that He is, did not allow me to have peace until I signed up. And so, with much fear and trembling, I enrolled to GLC 4. The sessions greatly impacted me, and soon I began to relax. But all that flew out of the window when I heard about the final project of GLC 4, where we were instructed to form a bridging event. And then I began to feel numb all over again. I was terrified to delegate work to the girls, since I have never even formed any bridging event before. However, with much prayer, dependence on God, and by the grace of God, our bridging event became possible. We held an evangelistic event in February 2012 called Captivating, Discover the Essence of True Unfading Beauty. My ladies went for it 100%. After the event, they all voiced out their interest to serve the Lord through their gifts and talents in other ministries. I, for one, was left awestruck by how the Lord worked out everything for His glory despite my hesitations. GLC Level 4 greatly helped me realize how important it is to be intentional in shaping each one of disciples to one day becoming the leaders themselves, even at an early stage of their walk with the Lord. Now, I'm able to move forward with more confidence in leading these ladies to soon become faithful fishers of women for the Lord's ultimate glory and honor. It has been such a wonderful ride, and I'm looking forward to experience more of Jesus. And I can only offer my deepest gratitude to my amazing Father God. To Him be all glory, honor, and praise.
Let's give God another clap offering. Can you turn to your neighbor and look at them in the eyes and say, good morning. Welcome to CCF. And then tell your neighbor, don't think of the boxing match this morning. We are going to focus on the Lord. Are you excited? I was asked to remind everybody that today is the last day of enrollment for the GLC. And they are going to give away a lot of promo materials. For example, free DVDs, shirts, mugs, if you enroll today. So, avail of it while it's available. All classes start this June 14. And the program duration is now shortened to 6 months only. But more than that, we introduce a new concept. You can study with your small group. In the DVD, we make this user-friendly. You can study alone in your house using DVDs, using the internet. But our purpose is we want to help you, to train you, to equip you, like Candice. She's now able to help others. It's one thing to know, but it's another thing to really be trained. Am I correct? And then, Next Gen would like to encourage all of you to volunteer and pray about helping our children. So, if God is speaking to you, and you would like to get involved in the ministry, I suggest one way, join a small group. And if you are our guest, go to that room, and somebody will meet you there and tell them you'd like to join a small group, or join the GLC training, or sign up for Next Gen. Would you like to, before we pray for Candice, I'd like to update you quickly on our C5 building project. We have not done this for 2-3 months already. Would you like to know what's happening? All right. Well, praise God. Almost, I think all the aluminum and the glasses are almost all complete. And the mini sanctuary, they are now putting all the interior. It's being completed. The main sanctuary, the soundproofing material is being placed. The classrooms are being completed. And just to let you know, when are we moving? When? What did I say last Sunday? Surprise. The Lord knows. And then, These are the materials that are still needed. Office furniture, cafeteria equipment. If you like to get involved in running a restaurant or what, lighting fixtures, gym, sports equipment. Somebody is helping to provide the flooring, but we need more. We have two basketball courts, okay? These are going to be NBA quality. Wooden. And CCTV cameras. Now call Pastor Roy or Fran Del Rosario or see them every Wednesday if you want to help. You want to volunteer, but you don't know how. You come to CCF on Wednesday between 10 to 2 p.m. in the morning and afternoon. And they will. You either talk to Fran Del Rosario or talk to Roy and tell them what you have to offer. I realize there are many of you, you like to help, but nobody is getting back at your proposal. Well, you talk to these people. And if nothing happens, feel free to drop a note to my office because I know many of you would like to help. By the grace of God, to this day, God has been providing money. We have no borrowing, even one single centavo. So to God be the glory. And then, the prayer mountain. In the prayer mountain, we have building one. It's completed. We now have power. So Meralco has, it's now connected. We have power. And the auditorium is almost completed in the cafeteria. And that's the picture. And of course, they still need floor tiles, bathroom fixtures, split type, aircon, cafeteria equipment, etc. Again, if you like to help in the prayer mountain, and God speaks to you, same people, just tell them you like to help in the prayer mountain. Now, before we begin with our worship service, as you have begun singing to the Lord, shall we pray? Would you like to pray for this project? Would you like to pray for Candice? Father God in heaven, why don't you all stand up? Okay, let's all stand up and pray. Father God, we just thank you for the freedom we have in this country to sing, to worship you, and to be able to have the freedom to share the gospel. We thank you for Candice. Thank you for touching her life. I now pray that you will use her mightily in the years to come. Bless her family, herself, her private life, her emotional life, financial life, her spiritual life in every sense of the word. Guide her. And once again, we pray for the other volunteers that you will continue to bless them. And I thank you for the building project. I thank you for the architect. I thank you for the contractor. I thank you for all the many donors who have given willingly, sacrificially. Will you continue to guide that project and the prayer mountain that we will complete it in accordance to the best schedule that you have for us? Lord, I know that if ever there are delays, it is because you have something better. But I thank you for all the progress. And once again, I pray for our country. We pray for President Aquino that you grant him wisdom, strength, and surround him with good people. And give him the courage to make tough choices. And help this country get rid of dishonest, gruff, and corrupt officials. Let this country really be a Christian country with godly leaders. Bring about spiritual revival, a new transformation, a new standards of governance, that it will be transparent, there will be accountability. But above all, I pray for your people here today, that our lives, our families, will reflect your presence. Teach me what to say, what not to say. We pray for our guests, that they will feel welcome, and above all, they will feel your presence. Speak to all of us. I commit to you the rest of this worship service and to all the services in the outreaches, in the internet, those that are participating with us worldwide. Will you likewise allow them to experience the reality of your presence and your love? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Quick review. What was our message last Sunday? You know, I met somebody last Thursday And I asked him, how was the message? He said, wonderful. Then I told him, what was it all about? And he began to laugh. And he began thinking and thinking. You know, I like you to always remember, when you hear a message, the best thing to do is to apply it. Once you apply it, you will remember. Our Christian life, the growth is not based on information. It is for transformation. So, our message today, can you recall last Sunday? What was it all about, everybody? Look at your chronicle. Practicing God's presence. Practice God's presence in your life. What is the most often repeated promise of God in the Bible for His people? I will be with you. I want to show you a picture, and you tell me what you notice about this picture, okay? This is a very famous picture. It is based on Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Let's read this together. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Here is Jesus knocking. He uses an amazing word, I will come into him and will dine. There are many Greek words to describe eating together. One is the fast food type. You eat quickly. The other one is like a breakfast eating. The other one is the word used here, dine. This language is describing he wants intimacy, fellowship. We will be spending time together. Let's talk about life over food. In other words, God wants intimacy. But what do you notice about this painting? I will show you the uniqueness of this painting at the end of the message. In the meantime, look at this picture. Now, some of you have already invited Jesus in your heart. Yes or no? Some of you have not done it. You know about it, but you have not done it. Well, just look at this picture, and then we'll talk about it later. Alright, what's the message today? Part 2. Intimacy through what? Through practicing God's presence. How many of you have heard of Nicholas Hermann? This is one of his most famous quotations. The most holy and necessary practice in our spiritual life, everybody, is the presence of God. Now, Nicholas Hermann was an ex-soldier. Then, he decided to give his time completely in serving others. He became a monk. He became a cook. And he became very famous, not during his lifetime, but the people were so impacted by his life, they compiled his teachings, his letters, into a book. It's not a thick book. The book is called Practicing the Presence of God. He is better known as Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence, his book, Practicing the Presence of God, has probably, according to some scholars, sold more copies than any famous bestsellers, including Christian authors, including non-Christian authors. In the last 400 years, the most read book next to the Bible, according to many scholars, is his book, Practicing the Presence of God. In that book, it tells us the importance of practicing God's presence. As a cook, he will cook thinking, being conscious of God's presence. The people around him describe Brother Lawrence that he has a habit of secretly, silently conversing with God throughout the day. I have a friend who has a watch. And every so many hours, the watch will beep. And he tells us, this is to remind me that I must take time and think of God. It's called practicing the presence of God. Now, be honest with me. How many of you have begun practicing the presence of God starting last Sunday? Raise your hands. Now you understand why you need part two? Because to know one thing and to do it are not the same. Yes or no? Knowing and doing are not the same. I struggle with doing. I know a lot of things. I don't always do them. Let me give you an example. Exercise. Do you believe exercise is good for you? Louder. Oh, do you exercise? Diet. You believe eating properly is good for you? Yes? Oh, do you eat properly? You know, one of my good friends tells me, my diet. You know, remember before all kinds of diet? South Beach diet. Remember all kinds of diet? Seafood diet. His is seafood diet. I said, what do you mean seafood? Whatever I see, I eat. Seafood. Knowing and doing are not the same. I struggle with that. So I want to help you. Practice the presence of God. Make this a habit. The secret is developing that into a habit. And in order to have a habit that will stay with you, according to many scholars, you need to do it for 30 days. Every day for 30 days. Then it becomes a habit. Some people say 40 days. I won't argue with you. You want 30 days, you want 40 days. Some people say 1 year. It's up to you. For me, it takes a lot of time. So I struggle with this. But you know what? Practicing the presence of God has been a blessing to me. I've been practicing this for the past so many weeks as I prepared for this message. And it has helped me. When I hear bad news and I begin to be nervous, the truth is, you don't control what's happening, and sometimes you hear bad news. When I hear bad news about one of our members, the family is about to break up, or I hear about somebody discovering that she has cancer, you know, my tendency is to be nervous. And then suddenly I remind myself, the Lord is present. Then I pray. Then I'm okay. So you practice the presence of God. Now I want to share with you how it is used in the Bible. Last Sunday, we talked about the first time it is used. I will be with you. It is used for Isaac. Remember, God gave the promise to Isaac. Today, I want to share with you how it is used in the life of Jacob. The second person this promise was given is Jacob. Now, remember, Pastor Joby talks about Jacob. So, you know a lot about Jacob. But I will highlight certain things that was not highlighted about Jacob. So here's the story. Are you ready? All right. The practicing the presence of God. In the life of Jacob, you will observe a couple of things about God's presence. For example, you will realize God's presence is a gift. It's grace. Number two, you will discover God's presence is not always recognized. And then you will discover God's presence is ultimately our security. And then you will discover God's presence is transforming. But only remember one main thing. Practice God's presence. Will you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, practice God's presence. It is life-changing. I tell you, it is life-changing. I remember a guy, his boss told him, compromise. Nobody will find out what you are doing. And his friends told him, it's okay, nobody will find out. He thought about it, and he told his boss, boss, that's not true. That nobody will find out. The boss said, what do you mean? I cannot do it. What do you mean? I'm asking you, nobody will find out. He said, no, God knows. God will find out. You see, this guy is practicing what? God's presence. I know of a guy who was riding, who was on an airplane, and a lovely, beautiful girl sat beside him. And they began, you know, chatting, talking, and the girl asked him, what are you doing in this city? He said, I'm attending a business conference. And the girl said, here is my calling card, and I'm on a vacation, if you have nothing to do at night, give me a call and we can have dinner. No, if you are the guy, what will you do? Hindi pangit, ha? Maganda ito. I tell you, guys, for most of us, temptation will now come in. Temptation will say, nobody will find out. Anyway, just a dinner. Maybe I can share the gospel in the dinner. Well, this guy knew his own weakness. He knew God is always what? With us. You practice the presence of God. It will change your life. I guarantee you this. You will struggle, but you will change. Let's see how it is used in the Bible. Genesis chapter 28, let's begin. This is now the son of Isaac, Jacob. Now remember, Jacob lied, Jacob cheated, and now Jacob is running for his life. So this is where the story begins. Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Everybody read. He came to a certain place, spent the night there. Because the sun had set, he took one of the stones and put it under his head and lay down in that place. I don't know about you, but for a pillow, you will use a stone. You got to have rocks in your head, right? I mean, why will you use a stone? Anyway, that's the story. And do you know, at that particular place, while he was sleeping, an amazing thing happened. God manifested himself to Jacob. This is the first time that Jacob will encounter God personally when he's all alone. And I noticed there's something about being alone. Oftentimes, you are more sensitive to God's voice. And here's the story. He had a dream. In that dream, there was a ladder. Remember the ladder connected to the heaven? People say that was for Jacob to climb up. No, no, no. The ladder, believe it or not, was for Jacob to understand God was coming down to his life. Okay? It's a famous quotation. Descending, ascending. And Jesus used the same quotation. Descending, ascending. You'll see angels going up and down. Now, this is what happened. Behold, the Lord, everybody read, stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. You notice something about the Bible? God wants a personal encounter with his people. Your faith, your God, cannot be just the God of your father. It cannot be the God of your grandfather. That's the problem with many young people today when they come to CCF. Perhaps, parents, you came to know the Lord, you now bring your children here. I'm going to tell you something. Your faith is your faith. Your children's faith cannot be your faith. Sooner or later, every one of us will have to have a personal encounter. And that is what happened here. God appeared and God spoke directly with Jacob. Some of you are here because your wife brought you here. Or perhaps your friends brought you here. Wonderful, but it's not going to be enough. Sooner or later, I guarantee you something. You and God will have a personal encounter. And this is what happened here. God repeated the promise. God said, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth. Everybody read. You will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How in the world can this happen? In you and in your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. How can all the families of the earth, how can everybody in the world be blessed through the descendants of Jacob? Answer? You read the Bible. If you read the genealogy of Jesus, you will see Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of Isaac, the son of Jacob. Amazing promise. Now, this is the promise now. Everybody read. In order to make sure those promises will happen, everybody read now. Behold, I am with you. Notice, this is the first occurrence of this promise to Jacob. I am with you. What does it mean, I am with you? This is the meaning. Number one, I will keep you wherever you go. Number two, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. In other words, God promised Jacob protection. I will keep you. God promised Jacob divine preservation. I will make sure you come back here. You see, when God is with you, it is your security. Now, Jacob does not deserve this kind of promises. In fact, if you ask me, Jacob should be the last to be given this kind of assurance. You know why? Look at his life. I mean, the guy's a cheat. What can you learn about God's presence? It's grace. It's an act of grace. It's unsolicited, unexpected, and God says, I want to be with you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Do you realize oftentimes God's presence is unrecognized? Jacob said, God is here and I am not even aware of it. Some of you are not aware of how close you are with the Lord. How come we are not aware? Can you give me some reasons why most of us are like Jacob? We are not aware of His presence. Give me some personal experiences. Can I tell you? Think. How come most people are not aware of God's presence? Too busy? Yeah. Preoccupied with other things? You are not focused on being aware of God's presence? You know, I don't cease. I'm always amazed. When I hear ladies talking, when my wife reports to me, even for my old class reunion, when ladies begin to meet together, do you know what they talk about? Gentlemen, I encourage you and I challenge you. If you have an incident in the office and you ask a guy to tell you what happened and you ask a girl to tell you what happened, will the story be the same? Not always. You know, for ladies, they notice things that I don't even notice at all. They will notice the bag that the woman, that the girl is carrying. You know, she will say, you know, yung bag niyan, mahal yan, expensive. You know, for me, what bag? What bag? I mean, I don't even look at the bag. Gucci, you know, a bag can be very expensive. And then they'll talk about the shoes. You know, the shoes? What shoes? What shoes? You know, they can tell. Now, for some men, maybe you are conscious. You try to find out what kind of watches. But honestly, for me, I don't know these watches. I don't even know if you're wearing watches. I don't see these things. You know why? I am not focused on these things. Perhaps if you are not focused on the Lord, you are focused on just material things, you fail to recognize Him. Is that possible? Very possible. Now, I don't know what you are looking for in life. But can I tell you something? May I suggest, practice being aware of God's presence. Let's read this together one more time. Spiritual growth, everybody, is the increasing awareness of God's presence in our lives and to respond accordingly. You need to grow, I need to grow. You learn to see God in every area of your life. Be aware He's present. Because that's the truth. God is present. Yes or no? But can I tell you one of the major reasons why people don't see God? They're blinded. Blinded. What do you mean? You know, I read the story of Jensen. It appeared in the 1993 Life magazine. Do you recall a magazine called Life magazine? Life magazine? Now, is it still existing or no more? No more. I think it went bankrupt or what? Used to have lots of pictures. In that magazine, there was a picture of a boy by the name of Jensen. He was playing a flute, but he was blind. The story, whether it's true or not, the magazine talks about how Jensen became blind. When he was a baby, the mother rushed him to the hospital because he had diarrhea or some kind of sickness. And the next day, when the mother arrived, the mother got the shock of her life. The boy was all bandaged, lots of blood all over his eyes. And the doctor asked, and the mother asked the doctor, "What's wrong with my baby?" The doctor said, "He's dying." And the doctor wouldn't talk to the mother. So the mother had no choice but to get the baby out of the hospital, and she brought the baby to another hospital. And when the other hospital looked at the baby, the doctor said, "Your baby's eyes were stolen." It's a very sad, tragic story. It's in one of the Latin America countries. But you know what? If you think that's tragic, I'm going to tell you. You know what is even more tragic? Many of us are being blinded by the devil. Look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read this together. "In whose case, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Do you understand why many people don't see God, don't see Christ? They don't understand the gospel? They're blinded. So I tell Bible teachers, you don't get angry at people when they don't understand. Some of you are here, but if you don't experience the grace of God, your eyes will not be open. We need grace, and only God can open the eyes of the blind. You see, most of us have been blinded. And that's why some of us have spiritual problems, but you don't see. You blame others. But the truth is, you need to learn to see. And most important is learn to see the presence of God in your life. Look at Jacob. He's really... Look at his Christianity. Look at his faith. Jacob made a vow to God, okay? Look, everybody read this. "If God will be with me..." Did God promise to be with him? But look at his vows. "If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey..." Did God promise to protect him? Look at Jacob. One thing to know and one thing to apply. Jacob is now making a deal with God. Look at his deal, okay? "If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and he will give me food, garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God." He's making a deal. Look at his deal. "The stone which I've set up as a pillar will be God's house." In other words, I will donate. I will make an altar here. "And all that you give me, I will give you what? A tenth. 10%. He's offering God. He's trying to bribe God. "Lord, you bless me, and whatever you give me, I'll give you what? A tenth." By the way, that's the word for tithe. The word tithe means what? Tenth. 10%. People argue with me, how much should I give? There's no discussion when you know the Hebrew language. Tithe means tenth. Now, do you relate to Jacob? You know, some of us, that's how we deal with God. It's transactional. "Lord, if you allow me to marry this guy, Lord, if you give me a husband, Lord, if you give me a wife, then, is that possible?" Oh. You know, I remember, I look at my life, just like Jacob, transactional with God. I remember years ago, as a young Christian, I prayed, "Lord, you bless my business, you bless my work." I said, "Lord, can you imagine if people will say, 'Wow, look at Peter's business, look at his position, look at his company.'" I said, "Lord, can you see how effective I will be?" You know, I was trying to convince God, okay? We are making a deal. You do this for me, and Lord, I will really teach the Bible. But you know, I really heard it loud and clear. God told me, "I don't need your money. I don't need your title. I don't need your position. I just want you to be faithful." You know, most of us approach God as a young Christian. You make deals. "Lord, if you give me a baby, Lord, if you do this, then I will." This is what I call immature, young, sincere believers. God is not to be manipulated. I don't know what's your relationship with God. But for me, I've discovered more and more about the greatness of God. I come to God for who He is. I've learned, because He loves me so much, the least I can do is to give Him my life, to love Him back. No matter what happens, I know that God loves me. So no matter what happens, it is always God's best for my life. I have learned that God is good. I have learned to trust Him. What about you? Have you come to that point in your life? You will discover God's presence is often not recognized. And then, many times, God's presence does not exempt us from problems. You know, many people think, if God is with me, I will not have problems. No, no, no. You want to find out what happened to Jacob? All right, let's continue. Jacob went on his journey. Remember, he was asked to go back to his grandparents' place, the mother's side. Scholars, if you look at the map, it's around 400 miles journey. 400 miles. Just imagine how long it will take him to go there. But God promised, I will protect you, I'll take care of you. Well, believe it or not, the Bible tells us, he came to the land of the sons of the east. He said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, yeah, we know him. Now, is it by coincidence that he bumped into these people? Is it by coincidence? Or is it luck? Or is it divine providence? Laban said to Jacob, notice, they finally got together, they met each other, and Laban seems to be a nice guy, the Bible tells us. Laban said to Jacob, after he went to his house, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what will your wages be? Wow! Can you imagine asking an employee, anong gusto mo? Anong sweldo gusto mo? Wow! Is that a good deal? You know, Laban seems to be a nice guy. Am I correct? Let's find out. What was the answer of Jacob? By the way, what's the name? What's the meaning of Jacob's name? If you recall, 2 weeks ago, Jacob's name means what? Deceiver, schemer, supplanter. You don't want Jacob to be your partner. You know why? He will have two books. One accounting book for you and one for himself. Understand? You don't want him to be your partner. This guy is wily. Now, Laban, everybody read, had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Now, people ask me, what do you mean weak? Sabi niya, duling ba yun, duling? I don't know. But Jacob was in love with Rachel. So Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. If you go to Egypt, if you want to marry somebody, you have to offer camels, okay? How many camels? Remember some of you? You were offered camels. You know, the Egyptian guide will say, can I have your daughter? 10 camels. 20 camels. Okay, it's a joke, but that's the practice. Here, you earn. It's a dowry. How much will you give me? 7 years. You know, Jacob was so excited. You know why? The Bible tells us, let's read this. Laban said, it is better I give her to you than to give her to another man. Stay with me. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. You know, when you're in love, 7 years is like what? A few, what? It says here, a few days. You know, I relate to this. We will be celebrating our 39th wedding anniversary. And I told my wife, honey, it was just like yesterday. Wow. Ramon, huh? I know some of you have been married for a long time. It was like yesterday. For some of you, marriage for 1 year is like eternity. My goodness. How can I get out of this? But for Jacob, he was so excited. Can you see the excitement of Jacob? He was thinking, malapit na, malapit na. Now, you have to understand, his emotions, his expectations, his dream, his hope, this is his life. You know, you singles, you understand when you're about to get married, marriage is something so special, you are so excited. So after 7 years, this is the story. He went with the father-in-law. Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed." Okay. You know, they had a party, amazing party. The whole town was invited. They had lechon. No lechon. Okay, these are, I do not know. This is a pagan country, okay? Maybe the lechon. I don't know what they ate, okay? Party. And then, the wife was given. But in those days, the face of the wife was covered. Now, this is what, remember the story? It came about in the morning, behold, it was Leah. He said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you what? Deceived me." You know, Jacob met his match. Okay? He was Laban. You know the word Laban means white. Bible uses name with a lot of hidden meaning. Here was a guy. His name was white with a black soul. You know, some people look good on the outside, right? The name looks good. But man, why did you deceive me? Would you believe it? Laban was so smart. He said, "No problem. You just don't understand the culture. I will give you Rachel, but in this country, our culture is this. You marry first the older sister, and then you work 7 more years, but don't worry, I'll give you Rachel." It's called the fine print. He did not read the contract. In the contract, there are fine prints. The fine print says another 7 years. So he got stuck for how many years? 14. Of course, as a bonus, he said, "But you can have her after 1 week, okay? But you got to work for me 14 years. Now, if you were Jacob, be honest with me. What will be saying? Lord, in Tagalog, Lord, ano ba ito? Ano nangyari? Now, do you understand how in-laws can become outlaws? This is where it came from. My goodness. After serving him 14 years, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away. I may go to my own place, to my own country. Give me my wives and my children whom I have served you. Let me depart. You yourself know my service. I fulfilled my duty. Now, let me go." Did Laban let him go? Laban is a master schemer. He said, "You know, you are really good." He offered him a proposal he cannot refuse. Amazing proposal. This is the proposal. Laban said to him, "If it now pleases you, stay with me. I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account." He continued, "Name me your wages. Tell me your salary. I'll give it to you." So he came up with an amazing package deal. Retirement pay, profit sharing, bonus, vacation leave. Understand? All the nice perks. Sign. Jacob naman, the master schemer, did not realize he was talking to the grand master. You know why? In that contract, there are fine prints with invisible ink. You know what are the invisible ink? It says it can be revoked anytime by Laban. Not by you, but by me. It's a one-sided contract. So, the guy signed. He was so happy. Why? Why did God allow him to continue 6 more years? 6 more years. After 20 years, guess what happened? You know, sometimes you don't recognize God's presence in your life. Honestly, if you are stuck with the Laban, can you see God behind Laban? Or all you see is Laban? In fact, the Tagalog word is better. Laban! Laban! Every time you see him, Laban. Honestly, are you stuck with somebody like Laban? You know why? Let me share with you his character. Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, "Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth." In 6 years, Jacob became a rich man. Amazing. Jacob saw the attitude of Laban. Behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. What will you do if you are Jacob? Well, you want to know what you should do. Am I correct? Well, the second time God appeared to Jacob personally, this is it. God said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers, your relatives, and I will be with you. God told Jacob, it's time to go home. You see, after 14 years, not yet time to go home. Stay longer. After 20 years, God said, it's time to go. Jacob, you go home. Jacob sent, called Rachel, Leah, and said, you know, your father is no longer friendly with me, but the God of my father, notice, the grammar used, the God of my father. Slowly, he's recognizing God, but not yet his God, okay? God of my father has been with me. He is recognizing God has been protecting him. Notice the progress. You know, everybody read this now. You know I serve you. I serve your father with all my strength. Yet your father cheated me and changed my wages how many times? 10 times. The master schemer. God did not allow him to hurt me. Notice, he began to see God's presence in this kind of a stupid deal. You see, he was cheated. Who will protect me? He began to see God protecting him. God did not allow him to hurt me. So, the story closed with, you like to know what happened after this? God's presence? Well, let me give you this amazing quotation by Warren Wiersbe. Let's read this, everybody. Before God changes circumstances, He wants to change our hearts. If our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, then we become worse. God's purpose in providence is not to make us comfortable, but to make us conformable. Conform to the image of His Son. And many of you are praying, Lord, take away Laban. Get me out of Laban. Get me out of this situation. In fact, some of you are living with Labans in your life. Yes or no? Ano ba ito, Lord? Ayoko na. Alis na ako dyan. But can I tell you something? Instead of praying for God to take away Laban, you ask God, Lord, you change me first. Lord, what do you want me to learn? You see, Labans are not accidents. They are placed there by God. Let me ask you a question. How will you change Jacob? When God promised Jacob, I will be with you, I will preserve you, the best protection for Jacob is his personal transformation. The best way for God to bless Jacob is for God to change Jacob. Because real blessing comes when we are transformed by God Himself. Amen? But how do you change somebody like Jacob, a schemer? Well, the famous saying, give him a taste of his own what? Medicine. You know, people don't realize how they hurt others until they are hurt themselves. People don't see how painful their actions are until they encounter the same thing. I've seen this happen again and again. Because we have many blind spots in our lives. And we don't see our weaknesses. But God will allow Labans in your life. Not because He's absent, but He's present. The very presence of God ensures that you will encounter the Labans of your life. Can you imagine being cheated? First with your wife, and then now your salary changed? And be honest with me, what will you do? God's timing is always perfect. You know, God knows when it's time to move you from the difficult circumstances. God knows when is the time to remove the pressure. God knows when is the time to intervene. You know, when Laban heard that Jacob left, you know what Laban did? Would you like to know what he did? Because Jacob left surreptitiously, secretly. Laban discovered on the third day that Jacob had fled. He took his kinsmen, 7 days' journey, and he overtook Laban. You know what God did? Everybody read. God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream. Be careful, you do not speak to Jacob either good or bad. Let me ask you, why did God intervene? Why did God appear in the dream of Laban? Because Laban was planning something very bad against Jacob. What's my point? People can plan evil things. If God allows it to happen, He has a purpose. But if it's going to cost you something that God knows is going to do some permanent damage, whatever it is, God knows what He's doing. Can God intervene? Yes or no? You know, God's presence has been my security. When we encounter problems in our family, in our lives, anywhere, I have to remind myself, this is not an accident. God is with me, but God allowed it to happen. Now, many times I don't see, I don't understand. I guarantee you, Jacob never understood all of these 20 years. Why God allowed him to go through all of the hardship? Would you like to know the hardship he went through? All right, let me share with you quickly. But before I share with you, what did Laban do when he met Jacob? Look at his first statement. Everybody read. It is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father. You have to understand, Laban was not a believer. Laban was not a follower of Yahweh. He worshipped idols. Okay, Laban. But Laban knew there's a higher power. And Laban said, God of your father spoke to me last night. Be careful not to speak either good or bad to Jacob. You know, Jacob, this time, if you have time, you read the story. He now gave a speech. Okay? Jacob gave a speech. Would you like to know the speech of Jacob? Jacob is an amazing guy. Magaling mag-drama ito eh. Okay? Now, he dramatized his life. This, everybody read now, okay? With feeling, these 20 years, I have been with you. Your ewes, meaning female sheep, and your female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. That which was torn of beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. Because that's the contract you required of it. My hand, whether stolen by night or stolen by day, that's in the contract. Nothing can be stolen. You are responsible. Thus I was. Everybody read. By day, the heat consumed me, and the frost by night. My sleep fled from my eyes. People who have not been to the Middle East, that's why I invite you to come with me every year, you will understand what he's talking about. In the desert, in the daytime, it's like an oven. At night, it's freezing. It's hard life. That was Jacob's experience. And then Jacob said, verse 41, these 20 years, I've been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock. You changed my salary how many times? 10 times. Then he continued, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, had not been for me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the toil of my hands. Is Jacob growing spiritually? Yes or no? Why do you say he's growing spiritually? He is now recognizing the blessing is not my scheming ability. It's God. God protected me. God has blessed me. Can you imagine for 14 years, just for the wives, but the next 6 years, God bless him? Do you know, if you read the Bible, he was willing to give his brother 200 sheep, 200 goats, 40, you have camels, you have donkeys. I mean, the guy has a lot. God bless him materially. But more than that, God bless him spiritually. His eyes were open. He saw God. Practice God's presence, especially when you have Laban in your life. Now, don't raise your hands, okay? But how many of you have Laban in your life today? I said don't raise your hand. Because I know. Some of you, maybe you're just doing this. You know, we don't like Labans, yes or no? But they are needed at times. And how many of you feel like, Jacob, 20 years, You are asking, Lord, how long? You know, I have heard people ask me, Peter, ano ba ito? Ang tagal-tagal na. You know, this dramatization, Lord. I've been praying. You are not answering my prayer. Is God answering your prayer? Yes or no? Yeah, but you don't know. You see, if God were to answer your prayer based on what you like, you miss out. Look, what was Jacob asking? Jacob was simply asking, Lord, protect me, give me food, clothing, shelter. That is what he was asking. But God has something more. Some of us, we're too shallow. We only ask God for what we think is good for us. What? Food, clothing, shelter? Is that all you want from God? You know, God is giving Jacob an eternal heritage that money cannot buy. A life of influence that will impact not just his lifetime, not just his children, but the entire history of humanity. That is God's plan for Jacob. I will be with you. And that is God's plan for your life. To use you, to bless you, so that you can become a blessing to others. But most of us are just so small. Our concept of God is so small. We only ask for little things. You got to see God's presence. Especially in the midst of problem. Tell your neighbor, practice God's presence. You know, Jacob was transformed. Do you know he was transformed? Now, I won't go anymore to the fact that God wrestled with him. Remember? God wrestled with him. And then he became limp. Do you know Jacob became what? He was dislocated. He began to walk with a what? With a limp. Remember? God transformed him, literally. Inside and outside. You know why God made him weak? So that he can become strong. When God makes us weak, simply, he wants us to be strong. How do you become strong? When you don't rely on yourself, and you rely on God's power. Jacob could no longer run. He could no longer scheme. Why? He was limping. No choice. Depend on the Lord. That's why God changed his name. Remember? No more Jacob, but Israel. Now, you see at the latter part of his life, you see the transformation. Amazing transformation. This is what Jacob said. Jacob said to his household at the latter part of his life, and to all who were with him, everybody read this, put away the foreign gods which are among you. Purify yourselves. Change your garments. Can you imagine? Jacob had no spiritual influence for the first 20 plus years of his life with his family. Until you begin to walk with God, until you begin to see God's presence in your life, until God becomes intimate, then and only then can you influence the people around you. Most people want to talk about God, but it does not impact their children, it does not impact others. Why? Because God wants to be intimate with us. Jacob, after encountering God, finally he can say, get rid of all the foreign gods. Now he has authority. Spiritual authority cannot be demanded. Spiritual authority comes from God. Whether people will listen to you or not is from God. You cannot demand spiritual authority. Your family will look at you. If they see God in your life, you have spiritual authority. If they don't see God practice in your life, you have no spiritual authority. My prayer is this. You respond properly in God's presence, so that people will see God in your life. This is the greatest legacy you can give to your children. You pass on to them, not money, not gold, not house and lot, you pass on to them God, the greatest possession. Look at verse 3. Let us arise, go up to Bethel. You see, Bethel was the name given by Jacob in the place where God appeared to him. Bethel means what? The house of God. That's why it's called Bethel. Let's go back to Bethel. And I will make an altar. Remember? He remembered his promise. And he wants to worship God there. Who answered me in the day of my distress. And now what? Has been with me wherever I've gone. His eyes were open. You see, God's presence is often unrecognized. But as you go through life, you begin to see, God has always been with me. Do you know at the end of his life, before he died, the legacy he gave to his family? Would you like to know what Jacob did? And I pray that's the same for you. This is what he did. He blessed Joseph. Genesis 48. The God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked. Now read this, everybody. The God who has been my what? My shepherd all my life to this day. He finally recognized God is my shepherd. And that is what he passed on to his children, to his grandchildren. The God who is my shepherd. You see, our children are waiting for us to give them a story, a narrative of how God dealt with us. If you and I don't have a story to tell to our children, if you don't have good stories to share with our children, with your children, who God is in your life, my friend, I'm afraid your children will not embrace our Savior. Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I am about to die, but God will be with you." You see? The greatest gift you can give to your family, you can give to your loved ones, is intimacy with the Lord. God. That's what Jacob did. He passed on to the next generation. God. Remember this picture? What's so unique about this picture? There is no door handle. You see, God is a perfect gentleman. He will not force his way into your life. Somebody once said, God will take 99 steps, but the last step is yours. God did everything, but eventually Jacob had to respond. Jacob had to say, "My God." Some of you have heard God. You have been here for many years, but nothing has happened in your life. You know why? Only God's presence will really change your life. Perhaps God is still knocking. He's still knocking. You have not opened your heart to the Lord. But once you open your heart to Him, I guarantee you something. He will never leave you. But some of you have never begun the first step. Many scholars tell us Jacob began his spiritual journey. His first step was when he had a personal encounter with God. I believe God is speaking to you today. Really, I really believe God is knocking in your life. Perhaps some of you have shut Him out. Or maybe He's inside, but you have never really recognized Him. Or, I don't know, maybe you're too busy. Today, I'd like you to invite Him. But now, not just in your heart. I'd like you to invite Him in every activities of your life. Starting today. When you leave this room, say, "Lord, I thank you, you are with me." When you enter that elevator and people are squeezing you and you're about to lose your temper, what will you say? "Lord, you are with me." Understand? Today, when you're about to watch Pacquiao fight, say, "Lord, I thank you, you are with me." And assuming you don't see the show, something happens with your TV, don't get angry. You say, "Lord, I thank you." Now, last of all, what do you do with the labans of your life? May I suggest you thank God for the labans of your life. You say, "Lord, I thank you for the labans of my life. It's hard. But Lord, I see you in my life." Let's pray. Bow our heads. If you have never invited Jesus, why don't you pray a simple prayer? Something like this. "Lord Jesus, I have never really invited you as my Lord and Savior. I have never really invited you to be the center of my life, my financial life, my business life, my everything in my life, Lord. I want to invite you to get involved. Lord Jesus, today, come into my life. Come in, not just in my life. Come in and be involved in my business, in my family, in the labans of my life, Lord. I surrender them to you. And Lord, it is my prayer that others, especially my own children, my family, my loved ones, will see Christ in me. And Lord, help me to be able to pass on this amazing legacy. The legacy of knowing you. The legacy of your presence in the lives of my friends. In the lives of my children. It is my prayer that my children, my family members, will embrace you as their shepherd, as their Lord. Thank you for your great promise. You will always be with us. I am with you. Thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen.